With the absence of light, they had not been crawling for anywhere near the length of time needed to get that far down the ship. Had the hull somehow reshaped itself while they were inside, ferrying them helpfully along? The radio emissions must be correct, he thought. Gomez must have a reasonably accurate fix on their positions from signal triangulation, even though the mass of the intervening hull made his estimate imprecise. But that meant the inertial compasses had been lying almost as soon as they entered the ship, and now they were moving through some kind of static gravitational field. Something intrinsic to the hull, rather than an illusion created by acceleration or rotation. It appeared able to tug them in arbitrary ways, depending on the geometry of the shaft. No wonder the inertial compasses had given false readings. Gravity and inertia were so subtly entwined that you could hardly bend one without bending the other. They must have complete control of the Higgs field, Norquinco said wonderingly. It's a pity Gomez isn't here. He'd have a theory by now. The Higgs field, Norquinco reminded Sky, was something that was believed to pervade all space, all matter. Mass and inertia were not actually intrinsic properties of the fundamental particles at all, but were simply effects of the drag imposed on them as they interacted with the Higgs field, like the drag imposed on a celebrity trying to cross a room full of admirers. Norquinco seemed to think that the builders of the ship had found a way to let the celebrity slip through unmolested, or to impede its progress even further. It was as if the builders could turn up or turn down the density of admirers, and restrict or enhance their ability to pester the celebrity. That was, he knew, a hopelessly crude way of imagining something that Gomez, and perhaps even Norquinco, might be able to begin to glimpse without layers of metaphor, seeing straight to the glistening mathematical heart of it, but for Sky, it was sufficient. The builders could manipulate gravity and inertia as easily as they manipulated the sickly yellow light, and perhaps without giving it much more thought. Which meant, of course, that his hunch had been right. If there was something aboard this ship which could teach him that technique, imagine what it could do for the flotilla, or for the Santiago, anyway. They had been trying to shed mass for years, so that they could delay their deceleration to the last possible moment. What if they could just turn the Santiago's mass off, like a light switch? They could enter Swan's system at 8% of the speed of light and come to a dead standstill in orbit around Journey's End, cutting their speed in an instant. Even if nothing that dramatic was possible, any reduction in the ship's inertia, even if it were only a few percent, would have been welcome. The external air pressure was now well above 1.5 atmospheres, although it was climbing less quickly now. It was warm, heavy with moisture, and some other trace greases which, while harmless, would not have been present in the same ratios in the air Sky normally breathed. Gravity reached a plateau of 0.5 g. It occasionally ducked below that value, but it was never higher, and the sickly yellow light was now bright enough to read by. Now and then they had to crawl across an indentation in the floor of the shaft, which was full of thick dark liquid. There were traces of it everywhere, a blood-like red smear sliming every surface. Sky, this is Gomez. Speak up, I can hardly hear you. Sky, listen to me. We'll have company within 5 hours. There are 2 shuttles approaching us. They know we're here. I risked a radar bounce off them to get a distance fix. Fine. By now he would probably have done the same thing himself. Leave it at that. Don't speak to them or do anything that would let them identify us as having come from the Santiago. Just get out of here, will you? We can still make a run for it now. Norquinco and I aren't done yet. Sky, I don't think you realize.